From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. United States forbidding any dealings in Venezuela's debt or equity, and Washington, the latest move to pressure the repressive government of President Nicolas Maduro. U.S. National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster told reporters the sanctions are meant to demonstrate that the United States will not allow an illegitimate dictatorship to take hold in the Western Hemisphere at the expense of its people.
We will continue to work with our friends and partners in the international community to support the Venezuelan people until their rights and democracy are fully restored.
McMaster also said no military actions are anticipated in the near future. President Trump had said in the past that the U.S. stands ready to help out militarily in Venezuela. President Maduro denounced the new U.S. sanctions and say they violate international law. The eye of Hurricane Harvey has moved onshore along the coastline of the U.S. state of Texas. In less than 60 hours, Harvey has gone from being a tropical storm to a Category 4 hurricane. Winds up to 250 kilometers per hour and 3-meter ocean surges are happening right now. National Hurricane Center is calling it a life-threatening storm. Brad Kieserman is the Vice President for Disaster Operations at the American Red Cross.
Many people are under either mandatory or voluntary evacuations, and they're just trying to get out of the way of the storm, but it's a monster. It's going to be challenging for anyone in the lower half of Texas to get out of the way of this thing over the next 4 or 5 days.
Harvey expected to pour nearly 100 centimeters of rain over a wide area of the Texas coast during the next few days. This is VOA News. South Korea's military says North Korea early today fired several short-range projectiles into the sea off its eastern coast from Gangwon Province. South Korean Office for the Joint Chiefs of Staff said the projectiles flew in a northeasterly direction for about 250 kilometers and then into the sea. Earlier, South Korea's Yonhap News Agency said a ballistic missile may have been fired without citing a source for that information. The launch is the first by the North since it test-fired a missile on July 28 that could have been designed to reach 10,000 kilometers per hour, putting parts of the U.S. mainland within reach. Somali and U.S. military officials are investigating the result of an operation conducted in southern Somalia amid confusion over whether the attack killed civilians or Al-Shabaab militants. U.S. Africa Command said in a statement it is aware of the civilian casualty allegations and it is taking them seriously. The Somali government said the 8 Al-Shabaab fighters were killed at a farm in a joint operation by the Somali National Army and its international partners. Local officials and relatives denied the victims were Al-Shabaab members. Officials in the lower Shabelle region said 10 civilians, including children, were killed in the operation. Suspected Boko Haram militants sprayed a village in remote Cameroon with automatic gunfire, killing dozens, kidnapping many others in a raid near the Nigerian border. VOA's Carolyn Prasuti has the story.
The attackers burned down around 30 houses in Gakara village just outside the town of Kalafata. The town has been a frequent target of suicide bombings by the Islamic group. Of the killed, all were shot dead except one who was burned alive. Another 30 suffered bullet wounds. The mayor of Kalafata and a senior military source confirmed that an attack had taken place but did not know the death toll. Boko Haram attacks have killed more than 20,000 people and displaced 2.7 million during the group's 8-year insurgency to carve out an Islamic caliphate in the Lake Chad region. Carolyn Prasuti, VOA News.
In Myanmar, the night after a series of coordinated attacks by Rohingya insurgents in northern Rakhine State, frightened residents of one area found themselves trapped by attackers' landmines. Authorities said police post came under attack by an estimated 150 insurgents armed with guns and homemade explosives. The attacks resulted in at least 71 deaths. Get more news by going to our website. You can find us at voanews.com. And we're always available on the VOA mobile app.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Dennis Davis here. Welcome to another hour of the best of jazz, past and present, and conversation with Dee Dee Bridgewater and Regina Carter. This hour, two of the great ladies who'll be performing at the 38th Detroit Jazz Festival. Russ here. Join me this hour, and I'll give you as much as I can possibly fit in of music from the dozens and dozens and dozens of artists that'll come from all over the world to perform at the 38th edition of the world's largest free jazz festival. Every note that anyone hears from the five stages all around downtown Detroit and on the Detroit River across the river from Windsor, Ontario, will be hearing free music. It is quite an event. And let's begin with some brand new music from an artist who'll be performing, as he has, on most of the major festivals these days. He's certainly become a superstar in modern jazz. He is the composer, pianist, band leader, award winner, and educator, V.J. Iyer. He'll be performing at the Detroit Jazz Festival this year, and I have a feeling he'll be playing music from his new release with his sextet, Far From Over. And from that, let's begin this hour with the title cut here on VOA's Jazz America. from his album Beyond Now. That is saxophonist and composer Donnie McCaslin and the song Faceplant. Donnie is very much in demand, not only as a solo artist with the music you just heard, but also, as you may know, I've mentioned before on the program, that Maria Schneider, the great composer and arranger and bandleader, was asked by David Bowie, the rock artist, to perform with him on his last album, Black Star. She was not able to do that, but she suggested Donnie McCaslin and his group, and that became part of music history. Well, he'll make music history, I'm sure, at the Detroit Jazz Festival. And Detroit is a place filled with music history, with wonderful artists born and raised there, among them violinist Regina Carter. It's also a major educational center for music, and that's where Regina Carter learned her lessons in classical music before jazz. Here's that story, followed by some of her music that she'll be bringing to the festival this year. Her salute to Ella Fitzgerald, Accentuate the Positive, here on VOA's Jazz America. Regina Carter joins us now, and after you have recorded Paganini After a Dream, a lot of emphasis has been made on the fact that you studied classical music throughout your childhood. So the question is, how did you get into jazz?
I studied classical music from the time I started studying violin, which was the age of four.
Oh, really?
And I studied all the way through my second year of college.
Mm-hmm.
I became interested in jazz when I was a teenager, and I did a double major actually in college, but then I was really turned off to the presentation of classical music when all my teachers kept saying, you have to play a piece like this or you have to play it like that. I wanted the freedom. And when I was introduced to jazz, I was introduced to the music by way of violin. And seeing these violinists have so much fun and being able to take the music and play it the way they wanted to play it at a certain time, that's what I wanted. You know, and so that's what really turned me on to jazz. But once I moved to New York and I found a teacher here, she said, you don't hate this music, you hate the way it was presented to you. And she presented classical music back to me in a very positive and fun way of learning and expressing that music so that I could love that music again.
Right. positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. Indeed, don't mess with Mr.
title cut from Accentuate the Positive, her dedication to Ella Fitzgerald, Regina Carter, sounding as she shall when she plays her hometown jazz festival in Detroit this year. Saxophonists Joe Lovano and Dave Liebman will also be playing Detroit this year. Here they are together on Jazz America from VOA1. From their brilliant collaborative effort, Compassion, the music of John Coltrane. That's NEA Jazz Master Dave Liebman, and I have a feeling future NEA Jazz Master Joe Lovano with Coltrane's classic Equinox. They'll both be playing at the festival this year. Joe working with Chucho Valdez and also working in the salute to Michael Brecker called Wide Angles with a host of all-star players, while Dave Liebman will be part of the special presentation called New Light, the music of Elvin Jones, live at the Lighthouse with a host of other all-star players. Well, that leads me to tell you that salutes to special artists of the past will be a big part of next week's Jazz America. And after we hear the next half hour of music, I'll tell you all about that. But first,
I want to invite you to send me an email if you have a question, a comment, or maybe request for music. Whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear from you. And here is the email address to which you can write me. I'll give it to you twice. So write it down and get in touch. It's jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's Jazz America, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com.
For years, the Detroit Jazz Festival was known as the Detroit International Jazz Festival. And speaking of international, I've received an email from Vlad from Russia. And he wrote me a nice long letter thanking me for all of the programming and also telling me the following. To tell the truth, I have been listening to the VOA Jazz program for a long, long time. I even listened to Willis Conover. It was a time of so-called Cold War. Yes, the VOA was forbidden in Russia. I remember, you are listening to the Voice of America from Washington. Russian government forces drowned out and deafened the sound of the VOA, but we Russian people, anyway, were listening to it. It was a breath of freedom to us. And he goes on to say, I love jazz. I think it is very free. Free to play as you want and free to think as well. Have a great day. Vlad from Russia. Well, thank you, Vladimir. And I thank you so much for your kind thoughts and that history lesson. And now, speaking of history and the international aspect of the Detroit Jazz Festival, here's a gentleman who'll be bringing the sound of Panama and Thelonious Monk together with his album Panamonk. He is Danilo Perez. And from a live recording from the Detroit Jazz Festival in 2010, here's Historia de un Amor, Danilo Perez beginning this set of music on VOA's Jazz America. two great pianists back-to-back, both of whom will be playing at the Detroit Jazz Festival this year. That was Danilo Perez, followed by Billy Childs, that you just heard with Dance of Shiva from his album Rebirth, that he will be presenting at the 38th Detroit Jazz Festival. Also there this year, the great young trumpet player Theo Croker. And here's In Orbit from the album Escape Velocity. Maybe you've heard me tell the story here on VOA's Jazz America, or actually, Dee Dee Bridgewater has told us the story of how she discovered Theo Croker when he was part of her band performing in a concert in Shanghai, China. Well, she wanted to produce his work and did, and worked with him on his debut album and albums after that. And now he's on his own, and he'll be playing the Detroit Jazz Festival, as will Dee Dee Bridgewater. Let's have some conversation with her now, then enjoy some of her wonderful live performance recorded at the Montreux Jazz Festival in Switzerland here on VOA's Jazz America. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome 2017 NEA Jazz Master Dee Dee Bridgewater.
I don't want to bore you with all of the things that I went through coming up. What I want to share with you is that I have been so blessed throughout my life, through the down periods of my life, through the highlights of my life, that I've had music. Music has healed me in so many moments in my life. Music has allowed me to persevere. Music has allowed me to be on this stage with you this evening. And I just can't say how much music means to me, and therefore how much I try to help it mean to others. It gives me a joy that is inexplicable. I get on a stage with musicians and I will take them on a trip, and by the end they don't know what's happened, and neither do I. But it's been a joyful noise that was made, and we have shared it with audiences all over the world, and I know it's worked because I see people smiling when I look into the audience. Or people will stand at the end and I say, well, I guess we did okay. So I want to say thank you to the NEA for this honor. It was a shock when I was told, because all my life I've just been a hard worker. People call me the hardest working woman in jazz. I modeled myself after James Brown, baby.
And maintenant, let's welcome Didi Bridgewater. Didi Bridgewater.
Senya Blues is what they call it. Way down there, sick alley way. Senoritas for the boy in with the hope that he would stay. By the time that they love him, Senya Blues don't gone away. Hey! Well, he's tall and good looking, and he really knows just what to say. But he's tall and good looking, and he really knows just what to say. By the time that they love him, Senya Blues don't gone away.
Jazz Festival in Switzerland, to John Beasley and his latest salute to Thelonious Monk on Jazz America from VOA 1. the Detroit Jazz Festival this year and giving us his second release in celebration of Thelonious Monk. That's John Beasley from Monkestra Volume 2, his new one, and the song Crisscross. Now, I happen to notice that the great Charlie Parker was born on the 29th of August in 1920, and Horace Silver born on the 2nd of September in 1928. And I also noticed that a number of new releases have come out in celebration of greats, like Charlie Parker, Horace Silver, John Coltrane, Oliver Nelson, Errol Garner, Duke Ellington, Thelonious Monk, Antonio Carlos Jobim, and others. And we'll celebrate those new releases and talk to the artists who make the music on the next Jazz America.